Hi everyone, this is Karan.
And I'm Yashasvi.
And we are Bad and Bollywood.
And this week in Bad and Bollywood, we're going to ask you a very important question. Are you a man? Do you have thumb in you?
I thought the question was going to be, Ruke, Hukyu.
I was saving that.
Fair. I can't even help myself, dude. We started dumb. And full disclosure here. Normally, you know, I give a justification of why I'm doing this movie. Lakir, I was like, I want Yashasvi to suffer through this because I had to. All this kind of stuff. Right? Dumb is like 90% for the song. Like 90% of doing this for the song.
For everyone confused, like, what are you guys talking about? What is dumb? Like, I've never heard of this movie. I mean, you have heard of this movie. It was back when Vivek Oberoi was a thing.
Yeah.
And this was his gritty cop movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, dumb is completely lost. Like, even if you search it on Google, they'll be like, are you sure you're searching for this dumb? Isn't it dumb?
Dumb?
Yeah.
Dumb laga ke haisha? Dumbo, the movie?
Do you want to finish your sentence? Like, it can't be this, right? Because, dude, a Telugu version shows up before the actual, like, Vivek Oberoi one. It's interesting. Like, I wanted to actually, because this movie is whatever. I mean, it's actually, full disclosure, is a decent movie. It's fine. You know? Actually,
it's
kind
fine.
Of enjoyed it. Which is the worst, because we really want to hate on a movie, and this was, like, not bad. But I wanted to talk to you about something because I pulled up some information, some data, if you will.
Oh wow, I love data. I love data.
So it's not really data. Basically, I was looking at Vivek Oberoi's career, right? Because if you think about it, Vivek Oberoi was primed to be the next star. He was primed to be like the next guy, right? Like that's
right after Hrithik. Like I remember it was Hrithik and then Vivek who had the post. Like everyone had posters of him.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Hrithik, because that's who I'm going to talk about. I wanted to talk about Vivek's 2002 to 2004 and Hrithik's 2002 to 2004, right? So if you look at Vivek's 2002, he started with Company and he did Road. Well, you know, we can't all be winners. And then Sathya, right?
Sathya was great.
He does Dumb, which isn't like terrible. It just kind of doesn't do well. He does an anthology movie, Darna Manaya. At least it's like, there's a wide range, right? He's kind of showing his range. He did Yuva, you know, which
was
great.
Yeah, Yuva was a great movie.
I mean, not necessarily like for him, but he was still good in it, you know? And he also did a movie that's aged terribly, probably Masti, but it was a hit. It was a huge hit, right?
Oh, yeah. I think Masti is the most successful film of his, like franchise-wise of his career.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So if you think about it, so this is 2004. He also did Kyun Ho Gaya Na, We All Make Mistakes. But Hrithik's 2002, he did Aap Mujhe Achhe Lagne Lage, he did Na Tum Jaano Na Hum, he did Mujhse Dosti Karogi, he did Main Prem Ki Diwani Hoon, and then he did Koi Mil Gaya in 2003, and Laksh, which also, by the way, failed commercially. I love Laksh, but it failed commercially. So my point is, Vivek Oberoi had a better 2-year stretch than Hrithik Roshan. From 2002 to 2004, overall, he was primed to be a bigger star.
Yeah, but sir, aap samajh nahi rahe ho. You've seen how Hrithik's pectoral muscle goes into like his abs. It's flawless. You know that, right? He's got fucking, he's got 8-pack in his fucking nutsack. Like, there's no competing with that.
And like, okay, how did you feel Vivek's performance was in Dumb? Like, overall, what did you think? What did you take away from it?
See, I think if Vivek, I'm going to talk about Vivek and Diya Mirza, who's the co-main star in this movie.
Yes.
I feel like they would have done much better if both of them just didn't speak at all throughout the movie.
Don't speak, Vivek.
Just don't speak.
Have you heard that before?
Oh. If he just didn't talk throughout the movie, he would have been fine. Because like, he's a good looking guy.
Yeah. I think he brings an intensity also, I think, when he's not talking.
Yeah,
and
when he's not talking.
We just did Lakir, right? And and the two kind of up-and-coming stars in that are Sohail and John, right? And in contrast to them, I think Vivek brings a lot more to the table, you know?
Have you heard of this phrase, any port in the storm?
No, what does that mean?
Yeah, any like this is exactly it. Like you're so starved for a performance. Like fuck it, even Vivek from Dom.
Oh yeah,
I just need something, guys. Just
anything. Give me anything at this point. But I found it fascinating that because and the thing that saved Hrithik's career was like Koi Mil Gaya, right? And like and his dad kind of came through. Like whoa, okay, aap mujhe achhe lagne lage was a bit far, buddy. So like I just think no one came. I mean, we all know the controversy behind Vivek and why it didn't work out. But also I think he didn't have a movie that worked like a big backed movie, and that was supposed to be Kaal. But we watched Kaal, and that's barely a movie, right?
Kaal is fucking barely a Kaal is barely anything.
Yeah. Kaal is another forgettable. You look up Kaal and a TV show pops up first. And this is a Dharma production.
Okay, listen. There's a Kaal 2 coming out. So maybe Dumb 2?
I'm sorry, there's a Kaal 2 coming out?
Yeah, apparently.
What? No.
They were in talks with Kaal 2.
who is sitting there? I mean, okay, look, I did send them a couple emails. But still, who is clamoring for a Kaal 2? I'd take Dumb 2 over Kaal 2, honestly.
I think that's the worst part about this, you know, is that it was actually like decent to watch, I would say. You know, like we weren't bored. It was engaging. The villain, holy shit, really fucking good villain.
Yeah.
But like that's the thing with, what's his name? Kulkarni, Atul Kulkarni.
Oh,
he fucking sends it with every role that he plays.
It was fantastic.
So, and the way they set up the villain, the plot, the whole tension with everything, it was so good up until the last 40 minutes, I would say.
What the fuck? We have to get it. Yeah. I feel like most of this episode is going to be those last 40 minutes because holy shit, they made it really complicated when they didn't have to. But anyway, so it starts with a different franchise, a race. So they're running. We watched this on the not the best quality print and not the best video. So it just started in the middle for us, like in the middle of the credits. And they were like running, right? And it was that guy, Sushant Singh, who has always been in these cop movies, but he's like the third guy. You know, he's like not quite there. And so he was playing Vivek's best friend.
He almost made it. That's what I would describe it.
There was one movie, and I can't remember the name, but there was one movie where they made him the lead cop. And it was actually a good movie, but commercially didn't do well. So I think...
Wasn't he also in one of those crime shows, crime dramas? Like the, you know, Janhit Mein Jaari ones?
Yeah. He feels correct for those. Like, it just feels like it fits.
There's two crime ones that I used to watch when I was a kid and not sleep.
Those were fucking bullshit, weren't they?
Saudhan rahe, satark rahe.
Abhishek Upmanyu had a great bit on like Crime Patrol, right? Holy shit, those shows are terrible. Anyway, so these two are friends, is established. They're both training to be cops, so that's why they're like running. They play Chor Police. And I remember Chor Police, dude. It wasn't like this. We didn't run.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, Chor Police got pretty fucking intense in school sometimes. Like, my shirt tore once. And I had to staple it back together.
It's because of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's that. Yeah. That's the problem.
You know, were you one of those people who would go like 1, 2, 4, 5, 10?
Or like 100%. I was a larger kid. I wasn't fast. So when I caught up to them, I was like, I need to speed up that count. Because I'm not getting back here. what I will say is my Chor Police, and I don't know why I'm sticking with this, but anyway, my Chor Police did not involve people almost dying.
Fuck me. So they're running through the streets, right? And Sushant Singh kind of fakes out and runs like ahead, and this bike comes in the way. And the bike guy skids like 15 meters. Like he easily, like half his leg is not there for sure.
Yeah, he's...
And you're made to believe like this is like an actual chase sequence. And at the end, when you find out that they're friends, you're like, why did that guy die then? Did he have to fall so badly? Your shitty fucking game, you asshole.
That's what it is. Like the twist, like it's that syndrome of like you reveal the killer and you make it the Papa G because you're like, fuck. And then, but then it doesn't make sense when you go back. Like, you can't retrace your steps and be like, oh, it was a fake out, but person died. Cool. So basically the situation is that like Vivek has a sister who's about to get married. The dad is trying to get money for the family? Like, he's trying to get money for the marriage, basically.
He's a retired teacher and he has this provident fund that he's trying to break. And he's going to a bank and the bank karamchari is like not giving him the money.
Yeah.
And he keeps saying, you know, you pay me, you've already paid me 15,000, but you pay me 10,000 more, I'll release a provident fund and you'll get your cash. And the dad is supposed to be this like upright guy. Hmm. But the actor who played the dad was pretty shit.
Yeah, like, you know me, like even Ra 1 got to me with the dad stuff. You know what I mean? Like that's how below the bar is.
Karan, don't say that in public. Can't hang out with you when you do shit like
this. Madhvi doesn't talk to me anymore because I said that on the episode. I keep bringing it up. Oh, remember that dad scene in Ravan? But yeah, but basically, like, I just feel like when you're making a dad feel sad, like, it's gonna fuck me up. Like, Bagban is an example, right? Oh, that fucked us up hard, dude. So, like, you have to be a especially bad actor, like, especially wooden, where I felt nothing for the dad. And it's like a truly horrible thing. That manager's being an asshole to him.
Yeah, and, I always say and. Have you noticed that? I'm going to try to stop that. Like, make an active effort to stop saying that.
I say this movie so often.
But that's a thing. That's a thing.
It's not a thing. I made it a thing because I realized that I can't stop saying it. But
are we being meta or is this an outtake?
I don't know. Is this meta?
We'll figure that out. we'll figure it out in post. Anyway, so Vivek overhears this conversation. And Vivek's training to be a cop, right? As far as I know. So he does what you would expect any rational person to do in this, enforce police brutality before you actually become a cop.
Feels relevant.
We're going to get beaten up in a thana.
Jesus Christ. We'll get to thanas and beating up soon. But yeah.
Yeah, so Sushant Singh, what's his name in the movie?
Vivek's friend.
Vivek's friend in the movie. Oh, by the way, we're just going to call him Vivek because his name in the movie is Uday, so it's going to be very confusing for me.
It's very, like, I keep mixing up the two failed potentials. Like, I can't keep track. If you can't have Uday and Vivek, that's too much.
There's too much failed potential. Potential? Did Uday Chopra have potential?
Yeah,
Vivek had potential.
Vivek had potential. Yeah. Failed. Too much failed.
Yeah, too much failure in it. Oh, God. Anyways, Vivek and Vivek's friend, they go to the bank clerk's house and he's living really lavishly, you know, he's got a treadmill and the thing, and this is the first instance that they show like a class divide, and I don't know whether they were consciously or unconsciously doing this, but they were trying to show this kind of disparity between the classes where Atul Kulkarni's name is Encounter Shankar and he's supposed to be from a higher caste. I think that's what they were trying to show.
Yeah,
but explicitly stated. And they go to this bank clerk's house and he's like living lavishly. He says, yeah, you pay me the 15,000 and I'll release the provident fund. And then Vivek breaks a bunch of shit in his house. And the next day, the bank clerk comes to his house and pays his father the provident fund in cash. And his father's...
Like, that's not realistic, right? Like, who is Vivek? And this clerk could easily get the cops to take action. But I guess the fear is that he's also doing an illegal thing. So
yeah,
that's probably...
He does say, I'm going to call the cops. And then Vivek says, you know, why don't you call the cops? And then he's like, oh, yeah, I'm actually stealing and stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I don't know. This movie kind of walks the line a lot for me.
Yeah. Like,
in the middle, I'll go like, oh, this is like a pretty good movie. And they'll be like, oh, we're going to do this fucking shitty thing. And I'm like, oh, you lost me there for a second.
I think this movie is good when it introduces its villain. Like... I think that's when it really thrives because you get that sense. And I got this sense in, and this might be a bit of an exaggeration, but remember like Mission Impossible 3 with Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Nearly identical in terms of plot and how a movie is, Karan. I often wonder how you do this. You know, you just take two such similar movies from Hollywood and Bollywood and you just bring them together and you phrase it so nicely. I mean, how did I not see the Philip Seymour Hoffman?
It just came to me. No, what I mean is like they're very different performances in different movies, but that feeling of like they're going to do some shit in every scene. Like I am on edge because I feel like they're going to kill someone in every scene and mostly they do. Like, that's the thing with this movie is that there's an imminent threat. And the way Atul Kulkarni is introduced is he murders this gunda who like they need for votes, like the politician that he's working with needs for votes or something like that.
No, the gunda, or was it the politician?
The politician's his friend, right?
Yeah.
And the gunda is the one that kind of controls a certain voter demographic. This is a dystopian world. Doesn't exist in real life.
Never. Like there's no.
It doesn't happen.
We don't have that here.
Yeah, and basically the issue was that Atul Kulkarni's character killed some of the Gunda's people. So he was like, oh, he's killed. He needs to be kept in check. And while he's saying all this stuff to the politician, Atul Kulkarni shows up from behind and chokes him to death. That's his introduction.
First, he breaks a bottle on his head and chokes him to death. So in terms of setting the stage for a villain, first of all, you have Atul Kulkarni, who's a tremendous actor.
Hmm.
And second of all, like you said, you have you build these scenes where, you know, anything can fucking happen.
Yeah. I'm going to say this again and you're going to hate me. It's kind of like...
Tell me, what is it like? Is it like Frozen? Is it like Disney's Frozen 2?
It's kind
is
of
it like Frozen Olaf's Christmas Surprise? Tell me, Karan, what
well,
is it like?
Actually, there might be some truth to that. But it's kind of like The Dark Knight. Because if you... you're setting up... So Vivek's scene is... I mean, look, I make these comparisons in jest, but Vivek's introduction is kind of like this person that is towing the line of... He is a cop, but he showed up at someone's house and broke their stuff, right? But he's doing it for the good. Yeah. He's a vigilante, kind of. He's not really, but he's on that line. And on the other end, there's another chaotic vigilante person who takes matters into his own hands. Just like a certain clown. I don't know if you remember this. He's the called the Joker. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Bing Bong from Inside Out.
Oh, Bing Bong. Don't mention Bing Bong, man.
This is
a family podcast. You can't do this.
Oh, man. Remember that scene where Bing Bong dies?
Oh, God. People are going to start weeping. Someone's just driving. They just randomly combust into tears. Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry about your Bing Bong dying. Anyway, so... where do we go from here? So you set up the stage, and like you said, there's Vivek, who's clearly, you know, has moral gray areas, and you have Atul Kulkarni, who also, I wouldn't say gray as in completely pitch black. Completely black areas.
He's proper evil.
Yeah. And the plot is that his sister, Vivek's sister, is getting married, and they're marrying into this family where I think Diya Mirza is the sister of the groom.
Of the groom who I can only identify as like a Sharad. Like he just has Sharad energy to him.
Sharad, the IT guy.
Energy. Yeah, he has like the specs and everything. He's a famous like TV serial actor. He's probably good, actually. Pretty good. But in this, he's just sister's husband. That's his role.
But this is not the first time Vivek meets Diya. Like Diya is walking across the road with a bunch of school children. What does Diya do? Is she a school teacher? Because like they never show anything after that.
She is Vivek's love interest. Please read the document carefully. When I sent you the file, it said right next to Diya's profession, Vivek's love interest. What she does is not important to this movie for some reason. Actually, I take that back. She's a reporter. Because remember that MTV show? What the fuck was that? What was that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? Like, because there's one scene where she's like, Kulfi, like she's talking about like they're cooking something and Vivek's watching her on TV. Do you remember that?
A way to a man's heart is through Kulfi.
Oh, great. Lovely.
Apparently. Yeah. But what was she doing with school children?
Oh, she was just being, that's what reporters do. That's what they, I don't know. If...
They moonlight as child traffickers. Anyway.
Jesus Christ.
You heard it here first, guys.
You said it. Oh, no. Put it on that's him. Fine. It's his fault. All I did was compare it to Dark Knight. That's all I did.
It's not like anything bad is happening with any reporters that were gleeful about, right?
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Anyway.
Chandani, please tell us what happens next to the movie.
Yeah, so... Okay, so basically this section is kind of... it's not the best because it's all like Vivek falling in love with Diya. And the sister meeting the husband for the first time. And then Vivek and Diya interactions a bunch. Like, there's a
those
song.
Those interactions are, like, fucking cringe. And there's the Sanskari teasing, which we cannot stand.
So
okay,
much.
Anytime anyone more than three people in a family interact, it becomes this Sanskari tease fest.
Yeah, no, and I'll open the door. Ugh, God. Oh, God.
Stab myself in the dick.
One crucial thing that we missed. And I cannot believe we did. And maybe it's my fault for bringing up Joker on this podcast. But the training, they go to get selected and they go to the grounds. And yeah. They introduce the cop man from Koi Mil Gaya, who is previously known as the cop man from another movie. He was also previously known as the cop man in Sarfarosh. That's just his trajectory, really.
Yeah, but his iconic role, his claim to fame, is Bulla from Gunde.
Yeah, but that he had a mustache in that, so it's different.
Oh, I didn't recognize
him. He's clean shaven, he's a cop. When he has a mustache, cop. He's Gunde. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, they're on the training ground and they do another swerve where like the he's
Sanskari swerve.
Sanskari swerve in a cop training fucking scene. Yeah, so all these people come and they're like, oh mera ye, I have this money. Give him a bunch of bribes, say I'm like this person's son. And he tells all of them to go to one side, and then Vivek and the rest, he's like inside. And crucially, Vivek says, when he asks him, you know, how do you think you're going to get? And he's like, apne kaabiliyat ke dam par. You know,
he said dumb. Yeah.
End the movie now. He said dumb. But no, yeah, basically the swerve is that actually he's like, fuck the nepotism people. And actually these are the Vivek and gang are the ones he's recruiting. And of course, as you do, you then get the song.
About the song's video, right? Have you seen a more 2000s fucking video? Okay, you got Drill Cream. You got random fireworks. You got the wraparound shades.
Got desert shorts for some reason.
Desert shorts, ultra tight pants with loose shirts. Yeah. Love it.
My favorite bit is like the boxing, the bag fucking exploding. Holy shit.
Was Vivek in the blast radius? Is he okay?
I have legit I mean, Vivek is invincible because he has dumb, obviously.
Yeah.
I have been listening to this song for weeks now. For weeks. It's so good. I run to this. I'm not even saying this just for the podcast. I have been running to this song. I did two rounds. Oh, like I was running. I don't want to get into that. But running is terrible sometimes. But the last round, I was struggling, and then I played dumb. Oh, dude! Oh, it's so good. Cine me. Oh, also
Karan right now, guys. He's like his hair's on fire.
Bad advice in the song because this has a shikhar pe jaake hi saans le. Like I think take some breaths because if you're going up, then you gotta.
Yeah,
breathe.
You gotta breathe.
You gotta breathe.
The
properly.
Breathing is important.
Because
yeah.
If you don't breathe, then you'll die. Unless you have dumb. Dumb.
Oh yeah.
You don't need to breathe.
Dumb is a substitute for like metabolic action or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Like, if you have dumb, you don't need anything else.
And like the good thing about this movie is that like once the song's over, you're like, oh, it's done. But throughout, every time there's like a dumb moment happening. You know that wow, that guitar solo happens, and I'm like, yeah, keep me invested.
I think cultural impact wise, dumb. The song was around for quite a bit because I remember the like Radio Mirchi used to use that blurb a bunch for like introduction to things.
Yeah.
So that song was popular as fuck. I will
that
say
that song. It's so good. I was like, you know what? Sometimes you go back and listen to a song from the 2000s. You're like, ah, this doesn't quite hit anymore. It was good at the time, like a lot of Dhadkan's soundtrack. It was good at the time, but like when I listened to it, I was like, eh. Except Dulhe Ka Sehra, which is great. But dumb. Oh, it's just, there's like a, I don't know, I'm just making sounds at this point, but the song's great. I'm just going, dumb. Just listen to it. Okay, like pause this episode.
Our listeners are going to stop listening to this episode and just go listen to dumb.
Just pause this episode. Go listen to dumb. Come back. Let's all do cocaine together and then re-listen to it.
Karan, our micro stats about, you remember when we talked about, you know, keeping the listeners like, you know, engaged for them to go away.
This is going to be like a 60% drop all of a sudden at this minute. I was like, what happened to this episode? Hey, it's all for dumb. You know, dumb can a sacrifice. But yeah, so. Yeah.
Okay, we're bringing it back to dumb. Okay.
Okay, you progress with the plot because I have lost the plot completely.
So we've established that this love story is kind of going on between Diya and Vivek and, you know, the families are teasing about it while the sister and the brother are getting married. How fucking annoying is that? You know, like you want to be the center of attention for once. It's your wedding and everyone's like, ooh, when are Diya and Vivek getting married? Fucking, it's my shadi, bro.
Even they're watching dumb. Like, yeah, hero, yeah. ठीक है, सब लोग वो लोग साइड रोल है.
When are we getting your mangalsutra? अरे मेरा मंगलसूत्र तो लेके आना. They lost that also in that plot.
Okay, so I think the next
central conflict.
The next scene is what I would call the inciting incident of the movie, right? Where
definitely,
basically, like all inciting incidents, it happens at Marine Drive, and and like they're chilling there. There's a Moongfali wala who's like also there, and Atul Kulkarni's there, and he's drunk, and like because drinking is evil. So he shows up in his bag.
Drinking is evil, but throughout this movie, Vivek will chain smoke. So that's how you know it's the 2000s. The dude has not stopped smoking ever since the cameras turned on. And you can tell this was before everyone's like, oh, smoking is injurious to health. Vivek is just fucking like cigarette after cigarette to look cool. And okay, you know what? He does look
cool. Cool. Cigarette, it looks cool.
Smoking is bad, guys. Smoking is bad. Do not smoke.
But candy cigarette is okay.
It's okay, but if you do smoke, make sure you look cool as fuck. That's all I'll say.
Just listen to Dumb in the background is all I'm saying. Yeah. While you smoke it.
Don't smoke. Anyway.
Yeah. Hero giri foo-foo karne mein nahi hai.
Not him. This motherfucker. I'm so happy that Lakshmi bombs a flop. You can't even imagine.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking terrible. Ugh.
Yeah. God, anyway, so yeah, Atul Kulkarni is... peeing, and Diya Mirza is like, chi, you know, no manners or whatever the fuck. And Vivek is going to pay the bill for whatever Moongfali or whatever they were eating. And that's when Atul Kulkarni starts misbehaving with her. He calls her like a streetwalker, call girl, or whatever he said in the movie. Diya like says some shit back to him and he's going to hit her. And then Vivek catches his hand and we get
Oh, it's so good. To call this a beatdown would be an understatement because holy shit, Vivek beats the ever-loving fuck out of him. He throws him over like multiple vehicles. He smashes him through a car. Like, yo.
It was like Mick Foley versus Randy Orton 2004.
Yeah, dude. Fucking hell. The thumbtacks might have come out at any point. Jesus.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
It's graphic as fuck because like the next scene is Atul Kulkarni getting stitches and this image is burned in my mind where the skin flap is open and it's getting stitched up. I'm like, didn't you have to show it in such gory detail?
Dude, they zoomed in to the, like, it's like right here. The camera's right there. It's fucking horrifying. I don't know. I mean, I guess they were going for this. This movie does descend into some serious violence, right? Like some serious, serious violence we get into. So I think maybe this was like a theme throughout the movie where the things be how people will take a small moment too far. It's too far.
And who allowed me to watch this in theaters? Holy shit.
Yeah, that was, it was like an adult rated film, if I remember correctly.
Was it? I mean, I watched it when it came out. So.
Yeah. Oh god. I don't know. I don't, maybe not. Because there was no CX in it. So maybe it wasn't adult.
We're okay with police violence, we're just not okay with sex.
CX.
That's not a theme in this country, right?
Oh, God. Yeah. Every week, we're just slowly descending into like our podcast, we're like discussing the movie, and then it's like existential moment of panic, and then back to, oh, by the way, the movie, plot.
Back to our regularly scheduled shit talking of movies.
Oh, God. It's all that's keeping me sane. So, this happens, and I think... The inspector dude, the trainer, the recruiter dude, he's there at the thing, just like chilling. That was weird, but anyway. So he,
that was weird. Does everyone just chill at Marine Drive?
So I think we get the backstory here, right? So because like the inspector's like, hey, this is what he did. And what Atul Kulkarni's backstory?
God, dude. I thought it would be like corruption and like he took like a bribe this one time and like forced him out of the police force or whatever the fuck. But if you didn't think Atul Kulkarni was a menacing villain already with all the shit he's been pulling.
Yeah.
This backstory will blow your fucking noodle, okay? So there was this honest politician who was really getting ahead in the vote bank. And one of the opposing politicians employed like... and the opposing politician who's... you know, flunky was Atul Kulkarni. He hires this gangster called Babu. Mm. Okay. From Babuji Zara Dheere Chalo.
Yeah.
Fucking banger. Oh, I can't believe we haven't said that was the most culturally significant thing in this movie.
Big, but anyway, big we'll get to it. Yeah.
We'll get to it, yeah. So he employs Babu to go and kill this guy. And I thought the hit would be a little subtle, but holy shit. Okay, so this guy's in the fish market buying some stuff. Babu, who is also Laka from Lagan, quick fun fact.
Menacing.
He comes, yeah, he comes with that fucking butcher's cleaver.
He is in fact dheere chaloing while he's doing that.
He is dheere chaloing and Babuji, matlab, bijli giri. He fucking hacks him in half, okay?
In broad daylight, in the marketplace, holy shit.
Dude. And apparently his people are so scared of Babu and the people who back Babu that they won't come forward as witnesses. But luckily for everyone, as the police officer so boldly stated to Babu that his wife was there. My wife, who lives in this house, has witnessed you, Babu.
And I am leaving in the morning, so she will be alone at home in the afternoon. He might as well have said that.
With my child, who is 5 years old and goes to this school. So you know where to find them and kill them.
Oh my God, so dumb.
Yeah. So Babu says, you know, you can't hold me in the lockup. As soon as you do, all these politicians will call and I will be let off the hook. And he's like, you're not going anywhere because we have a witness against you, right? So then the politician sends Atul Kulkarni to the cop's house, which is the most uncomfortable scene, intentionally uncomfortable scene.
Yeah.
Very well done. Holy fuck.
Yeah, it had the sort of feeling of, oh, someone could die. The one where you watch it through your fingers. Like, it has that intensity to it. I've been watching Mirzapur recently. Even in Game of Thrones. I know normally I compare and it feels too far. But, it had that intensity of, oh, they're gonna...
It was incredible.
Someone's gonna kill. It's because how Arthur does it. I feel if you're, evil villain, I have beard, I walk, I kill, then it's not as intense. But he shows up Bhabhi ji, ab kaise kar, khana ab de do, mujhe pani chahiye. And he's very nice, which is scary.
But he's got this very obvious veneer, which he wants you to know is a veneer. That's the thing. That's what gets me.
Mm.
Is that his veneer is so intentional that he wants you to know that it's a veneer, this facade that he's put up.
Oh God.
Oh, Atul Kulkarni is a fantastic actor.
He's so good. He's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, basically what happens is that there's a gas explosion that Atul Kulkarni causes and his daughter gets burnt alive and his wife gets permanently disfigured from it.
Just to repeat that.
Yeah.
The daughter of the inspector is burnt alive and the scars of that incident are still on his wife's face. That's the level of backstory we're talking about. This isn't just
I said it in a very throwaway way. So anyway, the short of the long is that his daughter is now dead and his wife is permanently disfigured.
It's just general trivia. Fun fact is his daughter's dead. Oh God, I can't believe this is the part where we're laughing.
Your daughter's crispy. Sorry. Can we cut that out?
No.
I'm so bad.
Your daughter's crispy.
Is easily the worst thing I've said in my life.
Accurate, but also worst thing you've said. Holy shit. This is, all the scenes, because sometimes we're trying to play stuff up for laughs or whatever. This is not the scene that I thought we'd get. Your daughter's crispy. I'm dying.
I'm horrible.
The problem is now, the line is so good, we cannot edit it out. It's too good. Oh.
Please. Guys, I'm not a bad person.
Just so we're keeping score of the things Yashasvi said. Oh, that loser pooped his pants is one. Nah. Incest is sexy last week. And this week, your daughter's crispy. Which may be, this is a peak.
This was all in November. We're not even going back to the shit I've said.
Oh boy, okay. Okay, so to get back on the track, Vivek, so this backstory he's informed, he's told about by the guy, the inspector, and he's so you got to lay low. So don't, don't get in trouble because this is what he's capable of. And I think this is when the Mangal Sutra stuff happens. Because, oh boy, oh, the Mangal Sutra stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because he says, you know, lay low, don't take Panga with him or whatever. But Panga finds him.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even doing anything.
It's a bit late. It's a bit late for the lay low because Atul Kulkarni is on a hellfire. Like, he is just, he wants to kill this guy now. He wants to kill Vivek. Vivek will beat the shit out of him. It's too far now. And he rounds up everyone on Marine Drive, all the people that were working there, and beats them up one by one. Like, that's the level, right?
And so, this is a guy, like, everyone knows my name as Encounter Shankar. Right? Mm. And I want to talk about this, that I love that the word, but the word encounter is such a uniquely Indian thing to me.
Oh,
is there nowhere else will you say encounter and get the same vibe? Because an encounter literally means a meeting. But in India, an encounter means you ran away from the cops and got the shit shot out of you.
I'd feel bad for like a person from abroad visiting India that was just like, oh, and then I had an encounter with this person. They're like, no, what?
You did what?
I was meeting my grandmom and then I had an encounter with her.
Uska encounter kar diya.
Jesus Christ.
I love that. Uska encounter. It means nothing, but it just has such a heavy meaning behind it.
I think maybe it evolved from, like, it sort of became, because, like, it's not like perfect English or anything. So it kind of evolved from, like, saying we had an encounter with this person where something happened. And then in a Chinese whispers type of format, like, it became just encounter. You know?
Yeah, I actually asked Deep Fried Neurons about this, and it was kind of similar because in the British Raj, whenever they write up these reports, it would say an encounter with so-and-so resulted in him being shot and killed, whatever.
Mm.
And like after the British left or whatever, that kind of system kept going on, just kept getting whittled down and finally just became encounter.
Mm. Makes sense.
So yeah, that's pretty morbidly interesting, I would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, this guy's on the warpath and Vivek and Diya have gone to get the Mangal Sutra and the wedding is that day, right? He goes to get the Mangal Sutra and they meet Shankar and Shankar chases them through the streets a bunch and they manage to just get away. But then Diya realizes that the Mangal Sutra was left in the car, which is still parked somewhere in the city. So Diya goes with Vivek's friend to pick up the Mangal Sutra and she gets captured by Encounter Shankar.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
fuck.
Which is weird because I think right after such a harrowing incident, you don't want to go anywhere near where you think this person's going to be.
Yeah.
And especially like a person like Encounter Shankar who you know has this fucking violent history.
And I think you could explain it.
What's the worst that could happen?
You could easily explain this stuff because it's not like they're really hiding it from the family because after Vivek gets beaten up, they kind of know everything, right? So like there's not a precedent of they cannot know. So I think it would have been just better if they told them. And that's why it kind of works because it's like a horror movie where like someone's going down the corridor and you're like, just don't go. And that's what works. That's the tension, right? Because they do go back. There's a brilliant scene before that too where like Vivek gives a ride to Atul Kulkarni while he's wearing the helmet.
Oh, and I was like, fucking love that.
Oh, dude. Like, great scene. I mean, a bit contrived, but yeah, fuck it. It's fun, right?
Yeah, it's fun. So we'll just run through that scene real quick. Vivek's on the bike and he gets stopped by one of the cops and says, you know, like, sir ki gaadi toot gaya, give him a ride.
Hmm.
And he sees that it's Atul Kulkarni and he wears the helmet. And I thought, as a kid, I thought that was super fucking cool that Atul Kulkarni doesn't find out that it was Vivek.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Yeah, and it's not like he knows him really well, right? This guy beat him up. So it makes sense that he wouldn't recognize him. So Vivek finds out that Diya has been captured. So then he goes to the Thane. Where were they? Like, it was like a secret Thane, was it?
No. It was a proper police
Thane. Proper police Thane. So he goes there and he tells Diya. So Diya leaves with the Mangal Sutra, I think. And Vivek... Like, I was like, what's going to happen? Are they going to, you know, walk their way around it? Is Vivek going to escape? No.
Fucking hell. That was a beatdown if there ever was one, dude.
Yeah, it's a proper police beatdown. Like, that's the scene, even as a kid, used to always get to me, is police beatdowns in general. There's a lot of, like, tying them upside down and beating them up scenes, like, in police movies. Yeah. And it always happens to the hero, you know, because that's how you build the sympathy for you're a good guy, I guess.
Yeah, you hang him upside down and beat him to death with a fucking lathi. Okay, I think that's easier way.
No, but I think like just to really establish the sort of okay, it's oh, I'm gonna do it again. It's the Dark Knight Rises moment of the film. Where the hero goes in and he gets his ass kicked, and you're like, what's he gonna do now? How do you come back from this? And he almost dies. Like, okay, this is the part where that you pointed out. Can you like, where does Vivek get thrown off at? You know, by him after the beatdown.
They put him on the railway track.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like that was a bit strange. Like,
So I mean, there was kind of cartoon villainy, and like you pointed out in the movie, at least tie him up, right? They threw him on a railway track, but not tied up at all.
What was that? Like, you want him dead, right? Or do you want the possibility that he'll survive? Because like,
yeah,
even Roadrunner. Because I know that's what I'm thinking of. In Roadrunner, like he would tie him up, right? Like there's no way. Yeah, so I don't know.
And Roadrunner would still escape. So, I mean,
you could still do that.
Redundancies in place, yeah.
You could still do that. You could still escape and chant Jai Hanuman, Gyan Guru Sagar or whatever. Like that replaces the dumb theme, which I wasn't
prepared for. Not a big fan of. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not a big. Oh my god, there'll be like a whole religious thing after this.
Yeah,
I'm gonna edit this.
Wow, is all I'm asking for, really.
Yeah. So Vivek escapes naturally because strong man.
Mm.
And was the politician scene after this or before this, where you know the whole class war thing happens?
Oh, the class war where he's at the rally.
Yeah.
I think that happens after. So, like, first what happens is Vivek is in the hospital and, like, he's recovering.
Oh, yeah. He's recovering
and the family's like, oh, how will he recover?
And this is my favorite bit, right? They're like, he has to recover.
Yeah.
Uska physical exam hai police ke liye. I'm like, dude, he's uska matlab, you can fit his remains in a fucking matchbox right now. That's like you getting hit by a car and you're like, beta, utho, tumhe IIT JEE dena. I am half there.
Dude, let's not get into IIT JEE stuff because I'm sure there are stories like that. Fucking hell.
So I
mean, look, one thing that you didn't factor in is he can recover on the same day because...
Why? Why can he recover?
Dumb.
Oh, fuck. Keep fucking dumb and Jai Hanuman both.
Like, bujate chale. And then Jai Hanuman. They should have just played this. It is honestly like, this movie was decent, right? But if this whole movie was just a dumb song, it'd be better. Anyway.
I'd be okay with just 2.5 hours of dumb and none of Vivek and Diya acting.
Yeah.
But, so Vivek recovers and he gives the test and he passes the physical test, right? And he's on his way to becoming a police officer.
Yeah. A crucial bit before, like, so the right after this, Diya's brother kind of wants to recruit him into like another job so that he's away from like the dangers of being a police officer, which I think is like a realistic conversation to have.
Yeah.
Right? Like I think it was portrayed very like he's the villain but he wasn't really. He was just having a conversation with him about it, you know?
Yeah.
He
says, you know, even if I have to give my life for the country or whatever as a police officer, I'll be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And then he just gets up and walks away. I was like, there was no conversation where Diya is like, no, I don't approve of this.
Yeah.
Therefore, we should break up. I think it was just like an implied breakup. And this wasn't was kind of stupid because, yeah, it was just 15 minutes of them kind of beating around the bush before they go back to like normal.
Yeah. The movie has that where, because it has such intense scenes, right? I feel like they almost want you to cool down and be like, okay, cool. Everyone's hanging out. Family's having a good time. Here's a couple songs. Okay, you're settled. Cool. Yeah. Murder. That's...
No, but I don't like that because that's where I think the movie lost its tension.
Absolutely.
You know?
It was just
so tightly packed up until now and I was very invested because you set the stage so well, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got this guy who wants to become a cop and is being harassed by this guy, this corrupt cop, and he's become a cop now. And the story can be that from within the framework of the law, he will overcome this bad cop because he's a cop now, but they've shown him doing no cop shit. Have you realized that Vivek has not once worn a cop uniform in a movie where he's supposed to be a cop?
Yeah. I wondered, because I was also thinking this, they don't do any cop duty. There's no training. There's only that one dumb song. And then there's like the test, which they don't even show, by the way.
They don't.
So do you think there was on like a deliberate choice where the villain is constantly wearing the cop uniform, but the hero is not? and the hero is still a fresh-eyed perspective, not broken down by the system, while this cop totally is. Like, do you think they were deliberately going for that? I mean, they didn't do it well. I'm just saying, do you think they were going for that?
I mean, maybe it could have been like a creative choice they were going for, where, you know, he's coming from a lower income strata and he wants to make it and no one's letting him. And that's why they want him in like civilian clothes or whatever. But I just think story-wise, it kind of lost the plot completely after this.
Agreed. So Atul Kulkarni shows up at the house and burns a bunch of his certificates. I thought he was going to kill the parents. So
I would have liked if, because when Atul Kulkarni shows up, like, the tension is off the charts, because up until now Atul Kulkarni's done some fucking horrible shit. So I thought at the very least he would pick off one of the annoying friends, and I'd be okay with that because they were super annoying.
Yeah, and
like the tertiary friends,
one of them, which is like a TV serial writer, which was an interesting choice. Like, he's just writing TV shows. I was like, that's, why is that his character? Anyway, so all they do is like burn a bunch of certificates, and I think he slaps the dad.
Yeah, he slaps the dad. And he goes to, then Vivek finds out and he goes to Atul Kulkarni's, you know, the police chowki, whatever. And Atul Kulkarni's at this rally. And now here is where it gets a little muddy again, because I don't know what they were trying to do. He shows up at the rally with Sushant Singh. And this Atul Kulkarni is there. And he sees Vivek and he kicks him around a bunch. This was a rally for the Dalits. That's what they were saying, like the Dalit ke neta. And they were wearing the blue shawl thing.
Yeah.
So when he pushes Vivek down, Vivek puts on one of the shawls and he's like, you know, this upper class cop is beating us lower class people down. Beat him up. So if you're keeping this plot thread.
Yeah. Oppression. Yeah.
Oppressing. If you have this plot thread of the upper class oppressing the lower class, they should have stuck with it, because I think it would have made for a better plot, better story.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They just like abandon it midway and then pick it up again and then abandon it again.
Yeah, I think a lot of times either they go for the romantic scenes more, or they replace that theme for like a shock value sort of scene. So we don't get a consistent thread. So actually I wanted to ask you this, because I felt weird about it, because he was using the caste thing in a way where it's not actually happening in that moment, but he's inciting violence based on caste, being the lower caste person. So I was like, is this movie trying to make that? Like, it's a weird thing, right? Yeah, he's the good guy, and yeah, he's beating up the bad guy. But for all intents and purposes, he's lied, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, don't do that. But yeah.
Yeah, because there is a long-standing history of, like, upper caste oppressing the lower caste and police violence against the lower caste people. And then you show a scene like that, I'm not sure what they were going for.
Yeah, and either, like, because I think the core of the film, the good part of this film, is that their, you know, their enmity, their sort of, their issue that they have, not the beef, everything else. Yeah, the beef is what, it started at a Marine Drive and it's fucking escalated, and I'm here for it, okay? But I think it kind of gets sidetracked a lot. And I think what's the next beat? Because, like, he gets beaten up, the politicians, like, politician friends, like, you gotta lay low. You can't have any more violent moments like this. And then we get another violent moment. Right?
Oh, God.
Holy shit. Did you see this one coming? Or
not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, I think I saw it coming when he said, so basically Sushant Singh's character, he says, like, oh, he's bought a toy train. He's saying stuff like, you know, only one of us will become a cop, you know? And he's saying all these, like...
He's got dying characters, dialogue syndrome. So, you know, people at home, you know, just check with your friends when they start saying shit like, you know, we'll do it together, you know, we'll get there together. And here's a toy train for your unborn child. Just be like, dude, you're going to die in 5 scenes at max.
Or so if he says, if he has something to tell you and he says, yaar, koi nahi, bahut time hai, yaar, kal baat kar lenge.
If he says, bahut time hai, be like, bro, don't leave the house for 2 months.
Do not leave the house, yeah.
Huh. Just ride it out, you know, ride out the movie.
There's no ghost here.
Bad Max.
Yeah, dude. Like, if it was a horror movie, he would just say, like, there's no ghost here. And that would be, that's done. Done.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, yeah, they are, like, hanging out. Vivek goes to drop Dia, so he's not there. And these people show up with, like, hockey sticks and shit and knives and shit and start, like, try to break in. And Sushant Singh is like holding them off. And then we're reintroduced to Laka. His name is not Laka. His name is Babu, but it's hard to get Laka out of my head. And essentially Laka murders him, dude. Holy fuck.
He slices the fuck out of him, yeah.
Yeah, because he's about to kill the pregnant sister, by the way. Which, by the way, like, timeline-wise, time has been passing. I didn't realize, like, yeah, she's, like, pregnant. She's, like, 6 months in. So, a lot of time.
Yeah, that's a lot of fucking time. Which, it doesn't feel like it. It feels like this whole chain of events took place in a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, oh, well. Yeah. And Sushant Singh gets killed by Laka. Now is where the movie starts completely losing the plot, because I thought after he recovers, it would be either a revenge mission or he joins the cops to like root out the corrupt cops. But it just becomes a sequence of stupid events.
Like, it becomes like the worst side of Abbas Mastan and Dhoom. Like it becomes very like, oh, I'll one-up you by being slyer than you, which is not what this movie is. It's like anger, blood feud. Every time I see you, I want to punch a hole in your face. Like, that's the thing. But it becomes like, oh, tumhe laga ki main ye karunga, lekin actually, maine ye kiya. And I'm like, okay, John and Abhishek, like, it's a different movie. The fuck?
And you guys know Karan loves a good plan, but like, here, even he couldn't find anything. Plan itself is fucking dumb.
Okay, so yeah, this plan.
Here's the plan that I will explain. After Vivek's best friend has died, and Vivek has been proved to be a hothead, right?
Yeah.
So how does the plan work? He, first up, shows up to threaten...
Atul.
What's his name? Thank you. Fuck. Brain fart. He shows up to threaten Atul Kulkarni with a water pistol, replaces his gun with a water pistol, goes to Babu's hideout. By the way, Babuji Zara Dheere Chalo song plays right now. Banger of a song.
Yeah.
And since you're leaving, listen to other songs anyway. Might as well go listen to it now.
Okay, don't leave. I want to take that back, everyone. Devi or Sanjano, please. Aap tike rahi hain, kyunki agle episode mein plot explain karenge toh. Continue.
So he shows up to Babu's hideout with Atul's gun, shoots two of Atul's goons, captures Babu, takes Babu to an abandoned construction site, meets up with the inspector who made him join the police, then says he's going to take Babu to court and no. Then incites Atul to say a bunch of shit against Babu. So Babu hears it and Babu agrees to testify in court. Wants to take Babu to court, but then gets caught in a shootout with Atul. It just makes no sense. I don't know. None of this makes sense, guys. None of this makes any sense.
This, like, Yashasvi's done such an incredible job of trying to put this together, but honestly, there's no logic, because when he goes and confronts Atul, that should have been it, honestly. That should have been it. And maybe they could have raised the stakes with Atul having a bunch of goons or something like that. But this convoluted Babu, and so Babu is like the fucking Jason Statham from Fast and Furious, where like, he murdered not a minute ago, not like, it's not even been a couple days, that the blood that's boiling, your friend's body is still warm in the ground, and you're like, oh, by the way, Babu, like, we're friends, no, what?
Dude, Babu and him are tied. They're hanging out at this construction site. He's not even restrained. Like, they're making jokes together. Like, bro, he was going to stab your pregnant sister and he killed your best friend. He stabbed him with a fucking meat cleaver, dude.
Yeah, it's like a horrible murder and he died in front of him. Well, maybe the doctor should have helped him, but he died right in his arms.
In terms of redemption arcs, like, what was this redemption arc? Like, Babu saves Uday, who is Vivek.
Yeah.
And so, while dying, records a confession tape. And the confession tape has no bearing because, like, the next scene is a fight between Atul Kulkarni and Vivek. There was a scene before while they were training to be cops, Vivek and his friend, where Vivek overhead presses 80 kgs.
Yeah.
Which, can he really?
Yeah, we don't know.
I mean, he could probably split and jerk it. I don't know if he can, like...
Yeah, he can, like, clean strict press. Oh, welcome to the Dude Bro Lifting podcast.
How much do you think Vivek benches, bro?
How much do you bench? Like, I just think, like, realistically, he's... I mean, he's an animal, you know? He's an animal, dude. Have you seen those combine numbers, dude?
Can you pull up Vivek's combine numbers?
Unrealistic.
guys, I don't think Vivek is overhead pressing 80 kgs.
One thing I do want to mention is that like Atul Kulkarni in the space of like 10 minutes has to weave two stories to make up for the plot that he gets caught in. So like the first time he's like, actually I was chasing after Babu and I dropped my gun, and then Babu and Vivek who are together, they framed me. So he, this is the first story. Then like the police come after his family and stuff. And I think the second time it's like some other shit he's saying, like he's lying to like Babu, he's lying to like, it's too much.
Yeah, yeah, he tells Babu like, oh, you know, Vivek is just trying to do this to get back at me, you know, he's going to kill you as soon as he gets a chance. So like, not only is he a menacing villain, but he's also an improv actor.
Yeah, holy shit. I was like, kitna story, kitna banayega? Like that's too much weaving of story in 10 minutes. But yeah, like you said,
yeah,
we get to the final sort of, Babu gets shot, records the video, all this stuff, and Vivek's chasing after Atul. Yes.
And yeah, then Vivek adds like 100 kgs to a... This is such a stupid like death scene also. Vivek drops a barbell on him. I was like, when was that ever a thing? Like his line was... Yeah, but like his line was in the thing ki main marunga, tu mar jayega. That is a line, right?
Such a good line.
Main marunga, tu mar jayega. That's a good enough line, I think.
Yeah.
But and also like we brought that up yesterday also, right? The barbell should like the clearance of the weights is such that it doesn't fall on your chest.
Yeah, it won't. Like, it'll stop before it hits your chest. Unless it's, like, lowered up. I don't know. Like, fuck. And it's not like he has a big chest or anything where it, like, falls on it. It's just, like...
Yeah, I don't think Vivek was using regulation plates. So, that's the real villain here. Like, guys always use, you know...
We went from being, like, very edgy to very political to existential to now the Gym Bro podcast. This has been great. Yeah.
It's been a roller coaster, hasn't it?
Yep.
But yeah, he kills Atul Kulkarni with a barbell.
Mm.
And we think that's how it ends. The only print we could find kind of cuts off that.
I was going to ask you, I was like, how does this movie end? And it just ends. He kills him. And so I guess it's over? Like, I don't know.
There was a narrator, like, you know, the end of story narrator, yeah, who's completely absent throughout the movie.
Jesus.
He shows up. And I think that's how it ends.
So apparently, I'm looking up the Wikipedia plot. It says Shankar tries to run away, Uday kills him. And Uday surrenders, after which he's duly tried in court. And based on the evidence, he's exonerated, after which he's cheerfully greeted by people.
Exonerated? Didn't he kill two of Babu's goons?
But he did it for his family.
But he wasn't even an enlisted cop.
But he like was. I feel like that's what it is. They wanted to walk the line of like, oh, he's kind of a cop. But like, no, not really. What this? Yeah. That was dumb. And I honestly, it fell apart. It definitely fell apart. But for at least an hour and a half of this movie, I was like, what are we going to talk about? This is like a good movie.
I wouldn't say there was a good movie in there. I would say it was a good movie for a bit.
Yeah.
And then it was.
I think it deserved more relevancy. Like some of the movies that we've done are bigger hits than this. And I was like, it was better than Koi Mil Gaya. Like, I'm just going to say it. Holy shit. Yeah.
Way more entertaining.
Justice for Vivek. Just kidding. Fuck Vivek now.
Mera gaad chal raha hai.